Chapter 16. Lanjan's phone vibrates, startling him out of his editing. This particular book has a lot of issues, but the core story's interesting, and he thinks the author doesn't have a formal writing background, so he's willing to put in the work to make it read more cleanly. It does mean it requires more of his attention, though, so it takes him a moment to identify what the sound was, his phone, and what it means that he just got a text. He takes a sip of water, because his water glass looks fuller than it ought to, and checks the notification. From Black Heart Emoji, Red Heart Emoji, Wei Ying, Red Heart Emoji, Black Heart Emoji. Hey cutie, what are you doing later? Hope it's something fun. Is this a serious question, or are you just flirting? It can be both! But actually, I had a question for you, and I wanted to ask it before I forgot. Because otherwise I'll forget. You know me. Anyway. So, you remember that video you took? The personal one? Lanjan remembers. Vividly. His ears heat, and he glances around as though someone would have appeared in his office without him hearing them. Jinsu does walk very quietly, but she's not actually rude enough to violate his privacy like that. He allows himself a quiet moment to feel ridiculous about reacting that way, and then a further quiet moment to find it ridiculous that Wei Ying is being coy about the subject of the video. If Lanjan scrolls back up their chat history, he knows he would find a series of thirst traps from Lanjan, some well-crafted dick pics from Wei Ying, and at least one discussion about which of three different new vibrating dildos Wei Ying should add to his yielding patriarch wish list. He hardly thinks the video of you fucking me so hard we shook the bed is more explicit than any of those, but Wei Ying is allowed to think so if he wants. To Wei Ying. I recall. Cool. I may have run across it when I was looking for new bunny pictures to show Amelia. She didn't see it! We have a V-strict no-phone peeking policy since she does burlesque. Boundaries and shit. But I had forgotten about it, so I had a moment. Okay, so, speaking of boundaries, do you want me to delete this? Or can I keep it in my secret folder? For reasons. Sex reasons. In case I wasn't being clear. I understood the subtext. Lanjan stops for a moment to consider the actual question. Is he fine with Wei Ying keeping the video? It has no identifying information, unlike some of the thirst traps he's texted. If it somehow ends up online, in the event Wei Ying's phone is hacked, he supposes, since he trusts Wei Ying not to post it without permission, there's nothing that can be traced back to him. It's not as though anyone but Wei Ying has ever even seen his dick, and could recognize him based on some kind of sex forensics. Also, once he sifts through the logical part of the answer, there's the simple horny truth that Lanjan wants to watch the video again himself. He thinks about Wei Ying watching it, hand in his pants, squirming in his desk chair, and flushes hot all over. Yes. Good. To Wei Ying. You may keep it. Lanjan hesitates a moment, thinks it over, and adds, I would like to feel more like it. Oh, wow. In that case, Guga, let me know if you want multiple angles. I have the technology, aka a lot of cameras and tripods. Our sex tapes will have the highest fucking production value of them all. I would expect nothing less. Lanjian goes back to editing, and something like 2 minutes later, his phone buzzes again. I was so proud thinking about how good our sex tapes would look, and so smug about how smart I was for coming up with the idea. Like, fucking genius over here! Sex tapes with nice lighting and multiple camera angles! That's innovation, baby! And then, I realized, I just reinvented porn. The thing I do, for a living. He sends a gif of a white man facepalming with both hands, and then two other hands coming up from under the table to also facepalm. Nanjan smiles at his phone. Your enthusiasm is admirable. Thanks, babe. I notice that you are not reassuring me that I'm not a ridiculous dingus. Lying is forbidden. Fuck you too. Kissing emoji. Later. Clock emoji, kissing emoji, eggplant emoji, sweat drop emoji times two, sweating emoji. Monster. Later, as promised. Lanjian takes video while Wei Ying blows him, on his knees next to the bed between Lanjian's legs. He takes his time, makes it thorough, looks up through his lashes at Lanjian theatrically, and, when Lanjian chokes out a warning, pulls back to stroke Lanjian off on his face. Lanjian comes with a groan, trying to keep an eye on the framing, and when his hands stop shaking, he shoves the phone into Wei Ying's grip and returns the favor. Wei Ying fists one hand in his hair and watches the video while Lanjian sucks him off, telling Lanjian how good he is, telling him how hot it is to watch himself sucking Lanjian's cock, and he comes so hard he drops the phone on the bed. Isn't narcissistic, he mumbles later, when they're curled up together. To get off on watching myself have sex on video? That sounds like a question for a mental health professional, and Lanjian will not be asking Lan Yi about it, under pain of torture or death. Perhaps, he says thoughtfully. But does it matter if we both enjoy it? Wei Ying kisses his nipple. You're right. You're so smart, Guga. I'm so lucky. They're both lucky. Instead of saying that, Lanjian says, next time you ride me, I'll take video. Wei Ying makes a quietly horny sound. So smart, Guga, he says, fervent. And Lanjian rolls over and pins him to the bed and kisses him again. January tips into February, and in the process treats them to a week of dark, miserable gray clouds and rain that won't stop. Wei Ying complains about it incessantly. It's the worst month, he insists, glaring out the window at the weather that's kept him inside, scurrying from Lanjian's car into the cafe for work, and then biking home in the freezing wet. The only things it has going for it are half-price chocolate day and New Year. And since I got disowned, New Year sucks. Lanjian looks up from the scarf he's still working on for Lan Huan and tries to work out that sentence. Ah. Wei Ying, naturally, refuses to acknowledge Valentine's Day. So, obviously, half-price chocolate day is the day after. Lanjian has never found any appeal in Valentine's Day himself, being chronically single and usually pining. Now, though, he has a girlfriend. He feels like they should be on the same page, so he asks, do you want to celebrate Valentine's Day in any way? No, Wei Ying says immediately, turning away from the window, Bi-Chen tucked close against his chest. And I'm not saying that to be coy and hoping you'll get me something anyway. I hate the whole concept, and I will actually be a little offended if you try to make it into a thing.
I will not, Lan Zhan says, relaxing.
He was prepared to do something for Valentine's Day, if Wei Ying wanted, but he's just as happy, if not more happy, to not bother. There's another half to Wei Ying's complaint, though, and he adds, gently,
You are invited to New Year with me, sweetheart.
Wei Ying makes a sound. It is neither in agreement nor in disagreement, but he also doesn't sound particularly happy. I know, he says, abandoning the window to come join Lan Zhan on the couch, letting Bi-Chen resettle herself in his lap. And I appreciate it, but, he sighs, it's not the same. Lan Zhan knows. He's been spending New Year without his mother for most of his life, and he still looks for her at the table.
Ni Huaisong will be there, he reminds Wei Ying. It won't be. He trails off, trying to find a nice way to say, a complete nightmare, or a pity invitation.
I know, Wei Ying says again. He rubs his face, heaves an exasperated breath, and peeks at Lan Zhan through his fingers. Sorry, I'm being a brat about this, and not the fun kind. It's a bad brain day, and like, I'm looking forward to celebrating with you and your brother and the Nies, and I know the food is gonna be great because Ni Mingzhi is in charge of cooking, but also your uncle is coming, and he's terrifying, and I don't get to spend New Year with my siblings anymore, and I'm not out to your uncle as a part-time girl, and it's all... He flops backward over the arm of the couch as he makes a long, guttural groan.
Talk to me again tomorrow, he says, muffled. I'll probably be happier then.
Lan Zhan agrees, reaching out and squeezing Wei Ying's knee.
How much chocolate should I purchase you on half-price chocolate day?
He asks, changing the subject. As much as you can carry, Wei Ying tells him immediately. But keep in mind, I will absolutely take whatever you get me as a personal challenge, so if I make myself sick on cheap chocolate, that's on you.
Thank you for the warning, Lan Zhan says, petting his leg before returning to his scarf knitting. I will plan accordingly.
See that you do, Wei Ying says, overly formal, but his smile isn't quite reaching his eyes. Lan Zhan is more familiar with his down moods now, and it has been a truly miserable week in terms of weather, so he doesn't push. If Wei Ying says he'll feel better tomorrow, Lan Zhan has to trust he will feel better tomorrow. He can't stop himself from fussing a little bit, though, and he pulls the blanket off the back of the couch and drapes it half across Wei Ying's lap as a gentle little hint. Wei Ying gives him a look that tells him he knows exactly what Lan Zhan is doing, but with some careful nudging of Bi-Chen, he gets himself under the blanket, rabbit curled up in his lap, legs thrown across Lan Zhan's. He settles in with a hum and shuts his eyes. It's good that Zhong Cheng doesn't plan weddings during New Year, Wei Ying says, a little while later, like he's had a whole conversation in his head without Lan Zhan's input. Means I can actually come. Lan Zhan hums in agreement. Wei Ying's schedule has picked up, and he's running wedding photo booths most weekends. What's New Year with your uncle like? He asks, chewing his lower lip. I want to be prepared.
Quiet, Lan Zhan says first, to Wei Ying's rueful laugh. We have most of the classic foods. Lan Chiren usually makes pineapple buns, which are less traditional, but he enjoys baking. We play music. He pauses, thinking, not sure what else Wei Ying would want to know. My uncle doesn't stay up. Sounds about right, Wei Ying says. No Smash Bros. Tournament, huh? There have historically only been two of us who know what a Smash Brother is, Lan Zhan points out. It would not have been much of a tournament. Not with that attitude, Wei Ying says, but it rings a little hollow. Lan Zhan gives him a searching look, which Wei Ying pretends not to see, before he slumps and admits, I'm worried about it. It just doesn't really sound like there's gonna be a place for me. It will be different this year, Lan Zhan says, setting down his knitting so he can pet Wei Ying's shins. It's the first time we're celebrating with the Niers. It will be, by necessity, less quiet. He tries to figure out what else might help, and offers, we could bring the Switch and play Mario Kart. Ni Mingzhu would wipe the floor with all of us, Wei Ying says. Asang tells me he's a Mario Kart monster, though admittedly most of their stories are from when Asang was like 10, and Ni Mingzhu was like 16, so there's probably a natural skill gap there. I believe he plays guitar, Lan Zhan says thoughtfully. Lan Huan mentioned it, so we may still play music. He considers that for a moment. If we did, we would likely play fewer classical Chinese pieces than my uncle would prefer, but I doubt he would complain. What if we all learned to play Despacito and formed the weirdest band? Wei Ying smiling now, small but real, as he turns that idea over. Two different flutes, a guqin, and a guitar. I think Ni Huaisong has a tambourine. This sounds horrible. I love it. I'll start rehearsing, Lan Zhan promises. He picks up the scarf again, finds his place in his pattern, and knits on. Wei Ying doesn't express any more anxiety about New Year, but this may be because he simply doesn't have time to. Over the course of the next week, he shoots 3 weddings, schedules a second shoot with the vegan cafe, works his regular shifts, and manages to keep up with his OnlyFans schedule. Lan Zhan gets a lot of knitting done on his sweater, which is nice, but he feels like he doesn't see Wei Ying at all. When Wei Ying is home, he's working, editing photos on his laptop on their couch while they watch Repair Shop or reruns of Great British Bake Off. They still have sex, and it's good. Of course it's good. But it's... Lan Zhan feels ungrateful even thinking this. But it's quick. Low effort. It's not, he reflects, on a lonely Saturday evening, as he knits alone with Wei Ying off at a wedding, that he thinks he really needs kink, either doming or subbing, to maintain his emotional equilibrium. But they haven't even had time for penetrative sex since the weekend they installed the wallpaper. He misses getting to luxuriate in his boyfriend's body. He misses lazy morning sex and making out slow and sweet before they move on to anything else, and wrapping himself around Wei Ying and reveling in his skin and scent. He misses Wei Ying. It's silly, selfish, but he does. You've been busy lately, he ventures on Tuesday night, while they eat broiled salmon served over a rice pilaf. Lan Zhan tries to keep any complaint or hurt feelings out of his voice, because he knows he's being ridiculous. Yeah, Wei Ying agrees, serving himself more salad.
It's been great how my photography has picked up.
He grins across the table, eyes bright, the slightest hints of sleep deprivation bruising the delicate skin at the inner corners.
It's all coming together, he says. I've been working so hard to build my portfolio and getting nowhere for years, and now people actually want to give me money about it. Can you believe that shit?
I can, Lan Zhan says, ignoring the way his gut twists a little at the words. The confirmation that Wei Ying doesn't see anything wrong, and is, in fact, excited about his new schedule. You are a very talented photographer, he says, focusing on Wei Ying's success instead, which is actually important. I'm very proud that other people can finally see that.
Shut up,
Wei Ying whines, hiding behind his hands.
No praise at the dinner table. I have to eat, Lan Zhan, and I can't eat while I'm blushing this hard.
Understood, Lan Zhan says gravely. He takes a bite of salmon, chews, swallows, and adds, I will delay the praise until we are in bed.
That's worse, Wei Ying wails.
Lan Zhan hides his smile under a bite of salad and pushes away his worries. This is fine. Wei Ying's career success shines in his eyes, and if he's a little busier right now while he figures out what that looks like, it'll be temporary, won't it? Lan Zhan sees the satisfaction Wei Ying radiates every time he deposits another check from a wedding photo booth, knows how exceeding his savings goals makes Wei Ying feel settled and secure. They mess around with music after dinner, mashing up pop songs and traditional Chinese pieces, and actually working on a slowed-down, mournful rendition of Despacito to play at New Year. And Lan Zhan manages to put the issue entirely out of his mind, till Wei Ying climbs into his lap and bites his neck. Lan Zhan immediately abandons his guqin and turns his attention to his girlfriend, pinning him against the coffee table. They make out like that, tangled together on the living room floor, Lan Zhan working a hand between them to palm Wei Ying's dick for his yoga pants, and give him something to grind against. It's a weeknight, but they could still fuck if Wei Ying is feeling up for it.
Bedroom,
Lan Zhan growls into Wei Ying's ear, then bites it for good measure.
Or out here.
There's a secondary stash of gloves, lube, and a sex towel in Lan Zhan's desk drawer, for situations just such as this. He could finger Wei Ying open, and then pull him down on his cock, make him brace against the coffee table for leverage while he rides Lan Zhan. It could be slow and deep, a kind of grinding sex that keeps them both simmering for ages before they tip over the edge and come. It would be good. It would be so good. Wei Ying says, tipping his head back to let Lan Zhan at his neck. Shower, actually. He ruts into Lan Zhan's hand, his breath catching. Efficient, you know? Lan Zhan says, pushing past the little, useless stab of disappointment, and focusing on what he has in front of him, the man he loves, and who wants to do porn things together in their porn shower. Shower it is. He gets both hands under Wei Ying's thighs and deadlifts him, because he knows how much his boyfriend likes it, and when they're both naked under the spray, he presses Wei Ying chest first into the wall and bites the back of his neck.
What do you want?
He asks, pressing the hard length of his dick against the soft curve of Wei Ying's ass. There are options available. He could fuck Wei Ying up against the wall,
or sit down on the built-in bench and have Wei Ying ride him, or bend him over said bench and rail him like that. They've started storing lube in the shower, next to the shampoo and conditioner, which thus far has only resulted in one hilarious incident where Wei Ying's hair got very, very slippery indeed, and not in any more painful mix-ups. Lan Zhan is determined to keep it that way, and also determined to keep the lube in the shower, so they always, always have options. He slides his hand up Wei Ying's chest and pinches a nipple, drinking in his gasp, and palms one of Wei Ying's ass cheeks, spreading him apart.
"I want," Wei Ying starts, voice stuttering when Lan Zhan bites him again, grinding back against his cock.
"Oh, baby, you gotta let me up." Lan Zhan rather thinks that he doesn't have to do anything, but he relents, letting Wei Ying turn around and drag him in by the hips. Wei Ying moans, grinding against Lan Zhan's abs, fumbling his other hand for the lube to pump it into his palm.
"Like this, just, oh, pin me down, Gaga, don't let me move."
He gets his hand in between them and wraps it around both their dicks, slick and warm, and shudders as Lan Zhan leans his weight in and traps him against the wall as requested. He digs one hand into Wei Ying's ass, forcing them closer, and grabs the back of his neck with the other, squeezing hard.
"Yeah," Wei Ying says, tipping his head back,
wet hair plastered across his forehead.
"Good, good, like that."
Lan Zhan kisses him, tongue fucks his mouth, and they rut together under the hot water until they come across each other's stomachs. And it's good. Wei Ying collapsing limp into Lan Zhan's arms afterward, and almost purring. And it's very, very easy for Lan Zhan to convince himself he didn't want something different. He finishes the scarf for Lan Huan and wet blocks it, commandeering part of the floor in Wei Ying's studio to lay it out while it dries. It's far too large to fit in the hall bathroom, and Lan Zhan thinks about getting some actual blocking mats while he spreads it over a towel and a half. His lace and garter stitch shawl is close to done, and from his reading, he knows he'll want to actually stretch that one out and pin it down to get the best definition on the lace section. He could block it on the bed, but it would require getting Wei Ying out of it early enough in the morning to be sure the knitting would have time to dry before bedtime. Then again, Lan Zhan gets out his phone and checks Wei Ying's shared calendar. This upcoming weekend, he's shooting weddings on Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday brunch wedding. Lan Zhan will get to see his boyfriend for approximately half the weekend. Lan Zhan will get to see his boyfriend for approximately half the weekend, and he sighs quietly. This is good, he reminds himself. He is happy for Wei Ying's success. He won't hold him back. With Lan Huan's scarf done, Lan Zhan decides he needs another decoy project to distract from the sweater. He has the back and half of the front done now, and with Wei Ying's shooting schedule, he might well have the front done before New Year. Wei Ying has been wearing the hat, scarf, and fingerless mitts every single day, regardless of whether or not they match his outfit, and Lan Zhan flushes warm and happy every time he glances over on their ride to work, to see Wei Ying swathed in his handiwork. He should have more options, though. Lan Zhan knows Wei Ying cares more about his appearance than might be obvious, and at the very minimum, he needs a set in purple and a set in black. Black first, Lan Zhan decides, as he considers hat and scarf patterns. Black will be the most versatile, and then purple, and then a deep blue. And then he'll probably start back over at the beginning and knit him something in red again. Wei Ying deserves the world, and Lan Zhan is going to knit it for him. After a little digging on Ravelry, Lan Zhan finds a few full matching sets of scarf, hat, and fingerless mitt patterns, which seems ideal since the goal is to knit pieces that go together. He discards anything that relies on visible texture for interest, since he's planning on knitting these out of a marled black yarn that fades through charcoal gray and a deep, deep plum. Nie Huaisong has warned him against knitting complicated textures out of black yarn, both because it's very boring and because it's hard to see the details, and if you can't see the details, why bother putting in the work? Both of these are valid points, and because of them, he moves the delicately cabled cowl and mitts in a sock weight yarn to the later category. Also, it doesn't come with a hat pattern, and while Lan Zhan is fairly certain he could improvise one based on the cowl, that's a little bit more challenging than he's looking for right now. Eventually, he settles on a set that combines simple cables and simple lace, based on his somewhat limited understanding of both. He checks with Nie Huaisong that he won't be pushing too far outside his current skill level, and then, with a forlorn look at Wei Ying's weekend calendar, goes ahead and schedules a meeting at the queer tea house for Sunday, while Wei Ying is shooting a wedding. It will be good, he tells himself as he adds it to his calendar, to see Nie Huaisong. Perhaps they will go to the consignment shop again. It will surely be better than waiting at home, alone, for his boyfriend to return from the job he likes, that pays him well, that Lan Zhan is being pathetically, irrationally jealous about.
Wei Ying, he says, laptop at the ready, and a skein of the yarn in question waiting on the coffee table.
Wei Ying doesn't respond, eyes on his own laptop, the stylus in his hand tapping away as he makes edits to photos. Lan Zhan isn't sure if it's a shoot from the vegan cafe or one for OnlyFans, but Wei Ying always has something to edit these last few weeks, it feels like.
Wei Ying, he says, again, a little louder,
and Wei Ying blinks and looks up. The underlighting from his laptop screen makes his face look washed out and pale, makes the shadows under his eyes seem even worse.
Mm-hmm,
he asks, a placeholder as his mouth and brain both come back online, and then he grimaces.
Oh, fuck, sorry, babe. I was a million miles away. What did you need?
It's all right, Lan Zhan says, angling his laptop toward Wei Ying. I'm deciding what to knit you next, he explains, unaccountably embarrassed,
as though he's a small child holding up a macaroni art project for approval.
Would you like to see it before I begin?
Ooh, Wei Ying says, sitting up to look closer. What color?
Silently, Lan Zhan hands him the skein of yarn, and he squishes it in his hand happily.
Pretty, he says. Love this goth-ass shit.
Wei Ying's eyes narrow, and he looks up at Lan Zhan with suspicion. How long has this been on the table?
All evening, Lan Zhan admits,
and Wei Ying presses his face into the yarn and groans loudly. Someday, I'm going to improve my ability to notice things on horizontal surfaces when I'm not directly interacting with them, he says, and on that day, it's over for you bitches.
Who are the other bitches in this scenario? Lan Zhan asks, softly amused.
The rabbits, obviously, Wei Ying says, lifting his face from the skein and sliding it along the tender skin of his neck. Not that I would ever call Sui Bian and Bi Chen bitches in a non-reclamatory kind of way.
Of course not, Lan Zhan says fondly. You approve of the yarn?
What gave it away, Gugu?
Wei Ying bats his eyelashes, and Lan Zhan drops his eyes to Wei Ying's neck, where he's still absently petting the yarn against his skin.
I know, Wei Ying says. I'm very subtle.
He leans over to press a kiss to the side of Lan Zhan's nose, and drops his head onto Lan Zhan's shoulder.
What's the plan?
I wanted to make you another accessory set, Lan Zhan says, clicking between the three open tabs. I thought it would be nice if it matched.
Wei Ying hums thoughtfully. Smart of you. He squints at a close-up of the lace pattern on the scarf, and goes quiet, a little too still.
Too good to me, he mutters under his breath. So low, Lan Zhan almost doesn't catch it.
And then, louder, are you deliberately picking women's patterns because of how hot a girl I am and how into having a girlfriend you are?
Lan Zhan agrees, taking the bait. Wei Ying is my beautiful girlfriend, and I am lucky to have her.
Wei Ying whines, predictably, and Lan Zhan adds,
also, patterns designed for men are, largely, not worth looking at.
Show me? Wei Ying asks, and Lan Zhan obediently pulls up a new tab, and does a search filtered to hats tagged as for men. Wei Ying's nose scrunches as Lan Zhan scrolls down the options.
You know, Wei Ying says,
watching ribbed beanie after ribbed beanie roll by.
It's not that I didn't believe you, but this is, like, dire.
Oh, that one's not bad.
He hovers his fingers over a slouchy cabled hat in blue for a moment, and Lan Zhan immediately adds it to his queue.
Oh my god, baby, Wei Ying laughs, shaking his upper arm. It wasn't a request.
Would you not wear it?
I would totally wear it, Wei Ying says, flopping closer. But that's not the point.
Then what is the point? Lan Zhan asks,
wrapping one arm around Wei Ying's back and pulling him in, drinking in the contact. It feels like he hasn't gotten to simply hold his girlfriend like this in ages. Wei Ying is warm and solid and smells like home. He's also halfway into Lan Zhan's lap, where he belongs. Excellent.
I, Wei Ying says, dramatically, and boops Lan Zhan on the nose with a skein of yarn.
Don't remember.
Lan Zhan kisses him. And when they part, Wei Ying's eyes are soft and happy.
Show me the patterns again?
Lan Zhan does, switching between the tabs and clicking through all the detail shots. Wei Ying hums occasionally, compliments the model's tattoos, asks a couple of questions about the pattern itself.
Can you make the hat slouchier?
Yes, I will just need to repeat the chart before I decrease.
Cool, you started that with the answer I needed, so it doesn't matter that I don't understand the rest.
And when his curiosity is satisfied, he lets his head drop back onto Lan Zhan's shoulder and stay there.
I love it, he declares, holding the skein of yarn in his arms like it's one of the rabbits.
This is my new favorite accessory set, Lan Zhan.
It doesn't exist yet.
Lan Zhan points out, reasonably, and gets lightly poked in the ribs in response.
Doesn't matter, Wei Ying says. Still my favorite.
His voice has gone a little slow, breathing slightly heavy, and Lan Zhan very quietly does a few computer things he needs to do, and by the time he shuts his laptop and sets it aside, Wei Ying is fully asleep.
Lanjian has to crane his neck in order to see his face, and does. Watches his face relax, mouth slack, eyelids occasionally twitching. It takes a little bit of adjusting, but Lanjian manages to get Wei Ying slumped against him, still cuddling the yarn, but with both of Lanjian's hands free so he can work on his shawlette. Wei Ying naps against him for another 5 rows of garter stitch, mumbling to himself once or twice. And Lanjian wallows in the quiet satisfaction of letting his boyfriend rest a little. Wei Ying has been working hard, and clearly foregoing sleep. And Lanjian can give this to him, pressed close and warm and safe in their home. As Lanjian turns his knitting at the end of a row, Wei Ying snorts, startles himself awake at the sound, and promptly falls forward into Lanjian's lap in surprise.
"What?"
he asks Lanjian's knees, pushing himself upright. Wei Ying yawns, his jaw cracking, and scrubs his hands over his face.
"Fuck, did I fall asleep on you?"
"You did,"
Lanjian confirms, a little sad that the nap has ended. But he likes getting to see Wei Ying when he's just woken up, so it evens out.
"Fuck,"
Wei Ying says again, a little more urgently this time, and Lanjian frowns.
"I did not mind," he starts, and Wei Ying waves at him.
"No, it's not that, it's..."
He casts around for his laptop and wakes it up, squinting at the screen.
"I really needed to finish editing these photos tonight."
Lanjian frowns harder.
"Are you sure it can't wait for tomorrow?"
he asks gently.
"You're clearly tired."
"I'm fine,"
Wei Ying says, around a yawn. He looks at Lanjian when he's done. And Lanjian's face must be doing something, because his sleepy eyes soften.
"It's okay, Guga. I really do have to edit these, so I'll just finish in bed so I don't mess up your bedtime."
Lanjian says, not particularly pleased about this compromise, but also aware Wei Ying, rightfully, doesn't take kindly to being told what to do in a non-sex context.
"All right," he says, putting his knitting away. "But try to take a nap tomorrow afternoon when you get home."
"I will if I have time," Wei Ying promises, which isn't a promise at all. And Lanjian stews about it for the rest of the night, up until he falls asleep with his face pressed to Wei Ying's thigh, while Wei Ying taps away his laptop, right next to him and far away at the same time. New Year rolls around, and with it a pause in Wei Ying's frantic photography schedule. Good. And a surge in his anxiety levels. Less good.
"You're sure we should play this in front of your uncle?"
he asks, of a Chinese folk piece that Lan Qiren taught Lanjian when he was a child.
"You're sure it's okay for me to wear my earrings?"
he asks, as Lanjian does a test run of the outfit he's planning to wear, which includes much more ostentatious earrings.
"You're sure your uncle likes fruit?"
he asks, as he prepares the pear cranberry cobbler that was such a hit at Dongji. Lanjian reassures him each time. Yes, Lan Qiren will enjoy the song, and Wei Ying plays it beautifully. Yes, it's okay for Wei Ying to wear his earrings. He won't be the only one. Yes, Lan Qiren likes fruit. He's a vegetarian. If he didn't like fruit, he'd be cutting off half of his food sources.
"That's a good point," Wei Ying says, elbow deep in flour as he cuts butter into the cobbler topping.
"Does he like fruit?"
"Come on, me. God."
He exhales gustily, looking up at Lanjian across the counter. "I might be spiraling a little."
"Maybe," Lanjian says,
trying to be reassuring. Wei Ying is definitely spiraling, but telling him so won't help.
It is thoughtful of you to try to cater your cooking to my uncle's tastes.
You're just trying to make me feel better about does he like fruit.
Wei Ying's voice is accusatory, but he's smiling. There's flour on his nose, and the bruises under his eyes are more prominent than Lanjian likes to see. But the worry has faded a little.
I'm okay. Well, I'll be okay. Well, I'll be okay-ish, at the least. It's just one dinner to see how it goes.
Lanjian stands and crosses into the kitchen to wrap himself around Wei Ying from behind, moving with him so he doesn't interfere with the assembly of the cobbler.
If it goes well, I want to have him over for dinner, he says into the crook of Wei Ying's neck. I want to show him our home, but only if it goes well.
I know, Wei Ying says, his hand stilling in the bowl of cobbler topping. I don't want to come between you and your family, you know?
He rolls his head back into Lanjian's shoulder and sighs.
I've done enough of that in my life, and it's not a great feeling.
You are not responsible for the choices of the people who took you in, Lanjian says, which is something Lan Yi has told him about his own upbringing, and which Lanjian is still struggling to accept.
It's much easier to apply it to Wei Ying, so obviously he does.
I value Lan Qiren's opinion, and I love him, but I have chosen to have you in my life. He owes you the same respect he shows Ni Mingzhi.
Ni Mingzhi didn't corrupt his sweet, innocent sophomore nephew, Wei Ying grumbles. Lanjian considers whether to keep the secret he's holding behind his teeth, and decides that, in the interest of reassuring his girlfriend, betraying Lan Huan's confidence is a fair trade. Also, Lan Huan was laughing very, very hard when he told the story, so Lanjian thinks he's probably told it to other people.
In college, Lanjian says, Ni Mingzhi convinced Lan Huan to try a cannabis brownie.
Wei Ying whips around, eyes wide.
No!
He breathes, delighted. Lanjian nods.
It did not take much convincing, Lanjian admits. Lan Huan was curious about the effects. He had heard it could be good for anxiety.
He pauses to add to the drama.
After he had a few bites, he became concerned when he couldn't feel it working.
Oh no, Wei Ying groans. Oh no, Lanjian, promise me he did it.
He ate more, Lanjian confirms. And then more. And then it took effect.
Your brother!
Wei Ying giggles into the bowl, trying to stay upright by bracing against the counter.
Oh my god, how bad was he?
He apparently ate an entire box of dry Lucky Charms cereal, spent an hour convinced he was a frog living under a leaf, and then braided Ni Mingzhi's hair until he fell asleep sitting up.
He kisses the side of Wei Ying's neck, feeling his laughter.
I feel that my single hangover was less corrupting.
I can't believe this,
Wei Ying wheezes.
All this time, I thought I was the bad one, but it was Ni Mingzhi all along.
You see?
Lanjian turns him around and kisses one cheek.
Nothing to worry about.
I guess I've seen Lan Huan have a glass of wine with dinner sometimes, too, Wei Ying muses, keeping his floury hands away from Lanjian's shirt. You still don't drink, so while I've definitely seduced you with my wiles into all kinds of sexy debauchery, I haven't tempted you to the sin of alcohol consumption. He pulls away and gives Lanjian a considering look. Have you ever tried again? Since college?
Genuine question. No pressure. I respect your straight-edge life choices.
Once, Lanjian admits.
It was perhaps 5 years ago, a little while after graduation. The copy editors at his job would occasionally go out for drinks after work, and Lanjian wanted to know if he would be able to join in, should he feel emotionally up to it.
I asked Lan Huan to supervise me for safety.
Good call, Wei Ying says, nodding seriously. You were an extremely polite, drunk agent of chaos in college. What was the result?
I had half a glass of wine and immediately blacked out.
Wei Ying winces, and Lan Zhan nods in agreement.
Lan Huan told me afterward that I reorganized everything in his kitchen cupboards by size, and then took his shao and refused to give it back. I was insistent that I could play it.
Can you play the shao?
No, Lanjian grimaces. I suppose I am grateful that I don't remember the sounds I must have made.
I love you and don't want you to be embarrassed, babe. But I also would pay good money for video of you trying to drunkenly play the shao.
Wei Ying grins at him, eyes dancing.
You'd be so dignified and regal, and making just the most god-awful noises. That's fucking comedy gold right there.
If I ever get drunk again, Lanjian promises solemnly, I give you permission to give me your dizi and then take video.
I'll hold you to that, Lanjian, Wei Ying tells him, mock-threateningly. As soon as my hands aren't covered in cobbler, I'm putting that in my phone.
No need for concern, Lanjian says, kissing Wei Ying's nose, and then stepping away to find Wei Ying's phone.
He unlocks it and pages to the notes app, finds Wei Ying's joke to-do list, and adds, take video of Lanjian, if intoxicated, with Dietze, right under build 2-scale hot air balloon for the bunnies, and become a pet photographer a la Anne Geddes. No dogs!
There, he says, turning it around for Wei Ying's approval.
Perfect, Wei Ying says, pouring the cobbler topping over the waiting fruit and spreading it around with his fingers. Now, if you could just need some kind of mild dental surgery in the next month, I feel like we could get a lot of mileage out of you coming out of anesthesia.
If I do need surgery, you will be the first to know, Lanjian promises.
He leans against the counter, watching fondly as Wei Ying finishes the cobbler prep, washes his hands, and gets the baking dish in the oven. When that's all safely out of the way, he crowds back in and pulls Wei Ying close against him, tucking his girlfriend's face into his neck.
Feel better?
I do, Wei Ying says, sighing. I might still freak out again a little tomorrow, but you're right. I think it'll go okay.
I will be there, Lanjian says, rocking Wei Ying side to side gently. Let's go to bed early, he suggests, trying to sound light about it instead of worried. You'll feel better in the morning.
Wei Ying goes limp and lets Lanjian hold him up. God, that sounds great, he says, annoyed. Fuck, when did I get so boring that going to bed early sounds like a fun time?
You do love sleeping, Lanjian points out. You always say you're the best at naps.
That's because I am, Wei Ying grumbles. I once fell asleep on top of a brick wall and didn't roll off. I'm amazing at naps.
You deserve an award, Lanjian tells him, and Wei Ying kisses him to shut him up.
Lanjian leans into it happily, slow and sweet. Wei Ying tastes a little bit like cobbler topping, and Lanjian carefully licks the flavor out of his mouth. You know, babe,
Wei Ying says, pulling away so he can actually talk. We can't go to sleep for at least another hour, until the cobbler's done. But that's no reason we can't go to bed now. Lan Zhan likes where this conversation is going, and likes it even more when Wei Ying pulls him down the hall into the bedroom, and pushes him onto the bed, and rucks up his sweater and undershirt to mouth along his waistband.
What do you have in mind?
He asks, pulling the hair tie out of Wei Ying's ponytail and spearing his fingers through his hair. I've given this a lot of thought in the last minute and a half, Wei Ying says, crawling up to straddle Lan Zhan's hips. He splays his hands out on Lan Zhan's pecs and grins down at him, eyes bright. I want you in me. I want to come twice. You're right, I'm tired. So while I will absolutely return the favor at some point in the near future, I don't want to have to do a lot of work tonight. Do you approve of my proposal?
I would like nothing more, Lan Zhan says, with total honesty.
He gets his hands under Wei Ying's shirt, grips him firmly by the hips, and rolls them over sharply. When he comes to a stop between Wei Ying's spread legs, he wastes no time in pressing his mouth to the soft places under his girlfriend's jaw.
Please no marks I can't hide from your uncle, Wei Ying says, voice vibrating against Lan Zhan's lips. He makes a grumbling sound, but it's a fair request, so he nips lightly once, and then works his way down to Wei Ying's collarbones.
Wei Ying goes comedically limp while Lan Zhan peels him out of his clothes, dedicated to not doing any work, and Lan Zhan drags his mouth against every piece of exposed skin as he goes, happy to do nothing else for the rest of the evening, or possibly the rest of his life. Wei Ying comes the first time sprawled out on his back, his nipples tight and tender dark from Lan Zhan's teeth and lips and tongue, two of Lan Zhan's gloved fingers curling inside him. Lan Zhan's been thinking about this, specifically, for what feels like weeks, and he works his fingers deeper as he licks wet across Wei Ying's chest and soaks up his moans like a sponge.
Oh, fuck,
Wei Ying says, squirming underneath him.
Oh god, I can't believe you. Please, yes.
And Lan Zhan crooks his fingers just so, and Wei Ying comes. So suddenly, he goes completely silent for a surprised breath, and then starts laughing.
Oh, wow, he says, still giggling, as Lan Zhan pulls out and discards the glove. I guess I really needed that. Fuck, I feel like a teenager. What did that take? 5 minutes?
2, Lan Zhan says smugly, climbing back between Wei Ying's legs and kissing his way up from his knee to his hip. It has been a little while, he adds, keeping his voice gentle,
and bites the inside of his girlfriend's thigh in direct contradiction to the gentleness in his tone.
I know, Wei Ying says, wrapping his legs around Lan Zhan's shoulders in a weird hug.
But we're making up for it now, right, Gaga? He grins down his body at Lan Zhan, tired but glowing.
You wanna fuck me so good I actually fall asleep at your grandpa bedtime?
Always, Lan Zhan says, and noses at the base of Wei Ying's spent dick happily, before he bites his way up his other thigh.
Wei Ying has to be convinced to release him from the leg hug, with much complaining, right up until Lan Zhan grabs him by the waist and yanks his hips up into Lan Zhan's lap. He shuts up with a squeak, and then makes a breathy, happy sound as Lan Zhan ruts absently into the V of his legs, the head of his dick nudging behind Wei Ying's balls.
Okay, Wei Ying says,
using the very little leverage available to him to try and grind against Lanjan's cock.
Okay, I get it. I'm shutting up. Put it in, baby, please.
I didn't tell you to shut up,
Lanjan says, slicking himself up and pushing inside, Wei Ying's breath stuttering as he goes.
Please consider yourself to have blanket permission to speak as much as you want while I'm fucking you, unless otherwise stated.
Oh my god, Wei Ying groans, laughing through the stretch, his thighs tensing and releasing under Lan Zhan's hands. You sound so collected. Talk formal to me, Gaga.
Lan Zhan has learned to be better at this, at dirty talk, but formality has never been a challenge.
I find the sounds you make very arousing,
he tells Wei Ying, very seriously, as he starts driving his hips into his boyfriend's pliant, hot body.
They are an intrinsic part of the process.
Wei Ying covers his face, whining, and Lan Zhan leans over and kisses the backs of his knuckles.
Sometimes I like to listen to your porn videos while I touch myself,
he continues. Every part of this, the truth.
The audio is so stimulating, I don't even need the visuals.
Okay, now you shut up, sweetheart, Wei Ying says, trying to cover Lan Zhan's mouth with his hands. I take it back. I can't do this. It's unfair.
You asked, Lan Zhan says,
sitting back up and getting his hands under Wei Ying's ass to change the angle a little. Wei Ying clenches down on his next thrust, dick twitching and starting to fill again. Good.
I wasn't ready, Wei Ying says, trying to get his elbows under himself for leverage, and then flopping back down. Your formal talk was too hot, it melted my brain.
His breath catches, and he flings an arm over his eyes, head tipped back and panting.
Fuck, he whines. I was really gonna try and make this good for you, but I can't. Are you fine with me, Pillow Princess and Gaga?
It is already good for me, Lan Zhan says, grinding deep and staying there. Wei Ying is always good, he says, low. And when Wei Ying moans, he fucks him properly, hard and wild, and exactly like they haven't had time to do in the last few weeks.
Wei Ying stays boneless, living up to his pillow princess promise. But he clutches at his own hair and tosses his head back and forth, and doesn't try to hold back any of his incoherent swearing or praise for Lan Zhan's perfect fucking cock, holy shit, or the teeth-clenched whine he makes when he finally wraps her hand around himself and comes all over his abs. Lan Zhan lets himself have a few more bone-rattling thrusts before he pushes all the way inside and comes hard, the orgasm making him silly and near drunk as he tells Wei Ying how much he loves him, the words broken and inelegant. The timer for the oven goes off just after Wei Ying has finished his traditional post-sex bathroom trip, and he scrambles into a robe and runs out to the kitchen barefoot and dick out, Lan Zhan trailing him in only a pair of pajama bottoms.
It's perfect, Wei Ying says, of the cobbler now cooling on the counter,
pulling Lan Zhan in for a standing cuddle, and then wrapping the robe around them both.
It is, Lan Zhan says, relaxed and pleased, endorphins fuzzing through his veins.
He doesn't mean the cobbler, though it is, indeed, beautiful, the topping golden brown, cranberry red juices bubbling along the sides. Later, when they're in bed at 9 and Wei Ying falls asleep so fast, Lan Zhan barely gets a chance to cuddle him first. Lan Zhan kisses the back of his neck and basks in the perfection of his boyfriend finally resting, for he presses close and follows him down.
Lanjian, Wei Ying asks, in a whisper so low it barely carries to him. Am I hallucinating?
You have to tell me if I'm hallucinating.
If you are hallucinating, Lanjian breathes back, it is shared.
This much Lanjian can say for certain. It is Lunar New Year. They are at the house Lan Huan shares with Ni Mingzhe. Lan Huan loved his scarf, and, after unwrapping it and praising Lan John's knitting skills at length, wore it around until it was time to actually eat. Dinner was delicious, the hot pot expertly prepared, the longevity noodles appropriately long. Wei Ying only freaked out a little before they came in, and has managed a few conversations with Lan Qiren over the course of the meal that weren't too awkward. They have finished dinner and have decamped to the living room to digest for a little while before they tackle dessert, which means it's time for the traditional Lan family music performances. All of this is familiar enough, though of course Wei Ying and the Nies are a bit of a novelty. It's just...
I swear to God,
Wei Ying whispers again, practically vibrating out of his skin.
This cannot possibly be real.
What is happening, Lanjian? In the middle of the living room, oblivious to the chaos he's created, stands Lan Huan. He has his shawl, which is to be expected. Upon it, he has chosen to play a pitch-perfect rendition of My Heart Will Go On, which even Lanjian knows is from Titanic. This is not to be expected. Lan Huan plays the Celine Dion song beautifully, eyes half shut, fully focused on the music. Lan Qiren listens, eyes also half shut, focused on the music, either unaware or uncaring that his nephew is performing the most inescapable pop song of the late 90s. It is possibly the funniest thing Lanjian has ever seen in his whole life.
He's doing this on purpose, right?
Wei Ying whisper asks.
He's, like, politely trolling?
Lanjian has no idea, and when he looks across the room at Ni Huaisong, they mouth,
"What the fuck?"
at him, and all Lanjian can do is shake his head. Yes, Lan Huan had been willing to learn Despacito with them, but this? He looks at Ni Mingzhe, whose eyes are politely on his partner, face guileless. He catches Lanjian looking, and the corner of his mouth quirks enough to flash a dimple before he trains his attention back on Lan Huan, and it must be intentional if Ni Mingzhe is dimpling about it. The Xiao wavers on the last fading note, and Lan Huan bows sheepishly to the applause of four other people. Wei Ying is clearly putting all his suppressed nervous energy into clapping, biting the inside of his cheek to keep from laughing. Lanjian leans into him, shoulder to shoulder, and lets the contact bleed off some of the giddy pressure.
An unusual choice, Lan Qiren says, as Lan Huan sits down. The melody was quite haunting. Do I know the composer?
I wouldn't think so, Lan Huan says, innocently. Next to Lanjian, Wei Ying whispers,
Oh my god, near silent.
It's by a modern Canadian artist, but I was intrigued by the idea of translating it to the Shao.
Lan Qiren nods.
I am unfamiliar with the original, but I enjoyed your interpretation.
He turns to Ni Huaisong, who freezes behind their knitting, as though the green marbled scarf could act as a shield.
Did you prepare anything to share?
He asks, gruff but not mean.
Lanjian thinks his uncle has softened a little now that he's retired from teaching college and volunteers at a Chinese-English bilingual preschool. Lanjian, as it turns out, loves small children. He talks to them like they're tiny adults, and apparently the kids love him for it. "Oh no," Nihuaisong says, lifting the knitting a little higher. "I'm not musical unless you give me 3 drinks and put me in front of a karaoke machine. I could juggle fans for you if you want, but we need to be outside for that, because the last time I tried to juggle fans inside, I was summarily banned from it for life."
"You almost broke the antique vase I got Lan Huan for his birthday," Ni Mingzhu says,
more entertained than angry about it.
"I didn't say it wasn't justified," Ni Huaisong says. "I was just stating the facts."
Lan Xiren's eyes narrow, but he doesn't push it. His gaze goes from Ni Huaisong, non-musical, to Lan Huan, just played, to Ni Mingzhu, already performed a Johnny Cash song on his acoustic guitar, apparently in possession of a beautiful bass voice, to Lan Zhan, opened with a classical Chinese piece on his guqin, to land, finally, reluctantly, on Wei Ying. His mouth purses, the corners of his eyes tight. The pause long enough that Lan Zhan takes Wei Ying's hand and squeezes in reassurance.
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Qiren says, a little too stern.
"I see you brought your ditsa."
"Yep,"
Wei Ying says, probably louder than he meant to, because he winces.
"I did. I've been practicing."
He stands, trips over Lan Zhan's foot, and barely avoids face-planting into Ni Mingzhu's coffee table and the 2 guqins upon it. He flails upright, tosses and catches his ditsa with a flourish, and brings it to his lips. He starts, fidgeting his toes against the floor. "I've been told a lot of you might know this, so feel free to join in if you want." Lan Chiden's head cocks with the first few notes, his interest sharpening as he recognizes the Chinese folk song Wei Ying has spent the last week rehearsing. Lan Zhan watches his uncle as much as his boyfriend, cataloging his every reaction, watching carefully for any indication of disapproval or that he'll need to step in. None comes. In fact, as Wei Ying launches into the first chorus, Lan Chiren moves to the coffee table, hands poised over the strings of his guqin, and plays along with the next verse. Wei Ying's notes waver briefly in surprise, but he picks it back up, his eyes smiling as he glances up at Lan Zhan. Lan Zhan smiles back, as warm as he can, and listens to the duet, the way Wei Ying gets creative with the harmony once Lan Chiren has the melody solidly under control. The last notes hang in silence when Wei Ying lowers his ditsa, anticipation in every inch of his face, and Ni Huaisong starts clapping like they're at a concert.
"That wasn't a standard harmony," Lan Chiren says,
in the kind of grumble that Lan Zhan knows means he was actually impressed.
"But it was well played."
Wei Ying beams and gives a silly little curtsy.
"That's me,"
he agrees cheerfully. "Weird, but good at it." He bounces back over to Lan Zhan and plops down on the couch against his side, which is why Lan Zhan is the only one who can tell he's shaking.
"You did well," he says, low,
as Lan Chiren launches into the immensely complicated piece of his own composition that he always plays at New Year.
"He liked it."
"Yeah, I definitely got that impression from the half a compliment," Wei Ying says, but he kisses Lan Zhan's cheek and smiles. "I'm good," he says, before Lan Zhan can ask. "Gonna sleep so hard tonight, babe. I'm all wrung out on nervous energy." He leans his head onto Lan Zhan's shoulder and listens appreciatively
as Lan Chiden gets through a tricky chord progression, and adds, sotto voice, "You think we can get him to play Despacito with us?"
"I am willing to try," Lan Zhan says, taking his hand, and smiles at Wei Ying's silent laugh.
Lan Chiden does join in on Despacito, not knowing what it is, but willingly improvising along after the first chorus. Afterward, they eat pineapple buns and Eight Treasures rice and Wei Ying's pear cranberry cobbler, and Lan Chiden actually compliments the latter to Wei Ying's face. And after that, they bundle into their coats and go into the backyard so Ni Huaisong can juggle fans for them. It is, Lan Zhan thinks, the best New Year he's had since his mother died, and he pulls Wei Ying close as Ni Huaisong makes an extremely showy catch. In spite of the frigid air, he's warm all the way down to his bones.